Hello, I'm Chuck Weiss, and welcome to Close Encounters. Every week at this time, I'll act as your guide while together we explore the twin phenomena of UFOs and alien abduction. I feel I'm uniquely qualified to act as your guide on this journey because I've been personally involved for over 20 years now with the species of alien that we have come to call the Greys. I've written a book about it, titled Abducted by Aliens, or How I Learned to Cope with High Strangeness, Government Harassment, and My Mother, a True Story, which is available online as a free PDF download. I'll give details on how to download a copy at the end of the show. That's assuming, of course, that at the end of the show you'll still want to download a copy, even if it is free. But I'll let you decide that. I should probably give you a brief description of myself at this point. I'm 67 years old, born in Springfield, Missouri, and currently live in San Francisco, California. I've been self-employed most of my adult life in both service and retail businesses. I was married and divorced, and have a wonderful daughter doing good work for people with her master's degree in social work. And then, in January of 1994, I woke up to find aliens in my life, and I blog about my experiences with ETs at abductedbyaliens.org. I think it appropriate, though, that we start with a historical review of the modern UFO phenomena. So, when we come back, we'll learn how it all began in 1947.
Hello? Podcast operator, how may I help you?
I'm looking for this really cool podcast station.
There are a lot of really cool podcast stations. You're going to have to be a little bit more specific.
Well, I'm not sure what it's called anymore. It went through a lot of changes. First, it was Pirates.
Pirates?
And then there's a bunch of initials, PC something. I really didn't get it.
No, I don't see anything under Pirates or confusing initials. Could you tell me something more about the station?
Well, I had an amazing following.
Like a cult?
No, not like a cult, more like a collective. A
cult collective?
Whatever, bottom line, people listened to it, was good.
Well, what made the station so good?
Well, for starters, there was 30 unique radio shows.
That sounds like a lot.
Because it is! They had local and world news programs, open mic poetry slams, live bands, comedy shows, local world music shows, Spanish language, Greek language, community organized, centered shows, even a show about 420.
Weed? There was a show about weed on this station?
Yeah. And get this! Half their DJs are women.
I like that. What kind of music did they play?
Everything. House, techno, hip-hop, garage, soul, world, new, old, uptown, downtown, underground, vinyl. It was really cool.
Well, I looked all through the database and I could only find one podcast station that fits that very description.
Really? You found my station. Are there pirates or animals? A bunch of initials I won't remember. What the hell's the name of the station?
Mutiny Radio, it says here. Mutiny Radio.
Mutiny Radio? Mutiny Radio?
Yeah, Mutiny Radio.
Well, that's a good name.
You're listening to Mutiny Radio. Same great station, new great name.
Thank you.
Hello, and welcome back to Close Encounters. That was Oxygen No. 2 by a French electronic composer, Jean-Michel Jarret. We'll be hearing more of his work later on in the show. Incidentally, the music I have selected for Close Encounters is best enjoyed with a good pair of earphones. Now, let's go back in time to 1947. Besides being the year I was born, 1947 was a very significant year for UFOs as well. On June 24th of that year, Kenneth Arnold, a businessman and amateur pilot, started the modern UFO era when he reported observing 9 disc-like aircraft flying at high speed near Mount Rainier in Washington State. In an interview, he said they looked like 2 saucers, one placed over top the other. The term stuck, and flying saucers became part of the national idiom. Arnold clearly identified them as some sort of aircraft, and that seemed to open the floodgates to similar reports. Over the next few months, hundreds of observations of strange things in the sky would be reported from across the country. As the Air Force was in charge of securing the nation's airspace, this created something of a dilemma. So, in 1948, the Air Force created Project Sign to seriously study this phenomenon. Project Sign lasted for just over a year, working out of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base near Dayton, Ohio. According to Air Force Captain Edward J. Ruppelt, who would later be director of Project Blue Book, Project Sign was a serious attempt to resolve the UFO problem. Quote, ATIC's intelligence specialists were confident that within a few months, a year, they would have the answer to the question, what are UFOs? The question, do UFOs exist, was never mentioned. The only problem that confronted the people at ATIC was, were the UFOs of Russian or interplanetary origin? Either case called for a serious security-shrouded project, end quote. Project Sign's official results were inconclusive, with the final report stating that the existence of flying saucers could neither be confirmed nor denied. According to Ruppelt, internally, the group had become split between those who favored the idea that flying saucers were extraterrestrial in origin and those who believed that they were not. In 1948, the project authored a document known as the Estimate of the Situation, which was sent up the Air Force chain of command. According to Ruppelt, most of the personnel at Sign had been impressed by what became known as the Chillis-Wittard UFO encounter that occurred on July 24, 1948. In this incident, 2 pilots flying a Douglas DC-3 reported that they had nearly collided with a strange torpedo-shaped flying object. Many of Sign's investigators became convinced of the truth of the report. They concluded that based on the level of technology that must have been involved, the object could neither be of U.S. nor Russian origin, and therefore must have been extraterrestrial. The estimate document was written from that perspective. Ruppelt later wrote that the Air Force had rejected the estimate for lack of physical evidence and had all copies destroyed. In fact, an Air Force spokesman later denied the estimate ever existed, and all attempts to use the Freedom of Information Act to find it have failed. Several people, including Dr. Alan J. Hynek, who was a scientific consultant to Sign in Project Blue Book, have confirmed its existence. I'll tell you more about Dr. Hynek later in this program. Now, Project Sign was replaced by Project Grudge. The project's new name reflected the Air Force's new antagonistic approach toward the handling of UFO reports. According to Ruppelt, the project was the dark ages of the Air Force UFO investigation, with Grudge operating under a debunking directive that all UFO reports were to be judged to have natural explanations. Little investigation was conducted, and many of the explanations offered strained credibility. Major General Charles P. Cabell was the head of the Air Force intelligence at the time and believed the flying saucer problem deserved serious scrutiny. Under pressure from Cabell, Project Grudge was dissolved and later replaced with Project Blue Book. When we come back, we'll talk about Project Blue Book and its special report number 14, the most intensive study of UFOs ever conducted.
Oh, man. Do you miss a Mutiny Radio show from your favorite DJ? Did you find out about a guest interviewed on Mutiny Radio a day too late? Are you wishing that you had a time-traveling DeLorean to listen to those shows again? Don't you fret. Simply go to mutinyradio.org and listen to our podcasts. Yes, it's that easy. Click on the podcast button and find your favorite show. Heck, click a variety podcast for a sample of all of our great programming here at Mutiny Radio. And don't forget to listen to us live on iTunes Radio under the Eclectic section.
A grassroots animal welfare organization called FixSanFrancisco.org has been working with other local groups, city agencies, and the San Francisco Animal Welfare Commission in moving the city of San Francisco toward a legislative no-kill policy. To learn more about FixSanFrancisco.org and the no-kill policy, please visit their website at FixSanFrancisco.org. That's FixSanFrancisco.org. Dogs and cats everywhere will thank you. This public service announcement brought to you by your friends at Mutiny Radio.
The National Lawyers Guild is dedicated to the need for basic change in the structure of our political and economic systems. They seek to unite lawyers, law students, legal workers, and jailhouse lawyers of America to function as an effective political and social force in the service of the people, to the end that human rights shall be regarded as more sacred than mere property interests. For more information about your legal rights, how to obtain legal assistance, or to donate, please contact the National Lawyers Guild at nlgsg.org. That's nlgsg.org. This public service announcement is brought to you by your friends at Mutiny Radio.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom. Commencing countdown, engines on. 3, 2, check ignition, 1. And may God's love be with you. This is ground control to Major Tom.
Thank you.
my spaceship knows which way to go. Tell my wife I love her very much. She knows. Ground control to Major Tom, your circuit's dead. There's something wrong.
Thank you, David Bowie. Space Oddity has always been one of my favorites. Now, back to Project Blue Book and its special report, number 14. Early in 1952, Project Grudge was reorganized into Project Blue Book, with Ruppelt at the helm. Ruppelt is thought by most to have been more open-minded and effective than later directors of Blue Book. One of the first things Ruppelt did was to replace the terms flying saucer and flying disc with the more precise classification of unidentified flying object, or UFO. A few months earlier, in December of 1951, Ruppelt met with members of the Battelle Memorial Institute, a think tank based in Columbus, Ohio. He wanted their experts to assist in making the study of UFOs more scientific. The Air Force had started compiling data on UFOs as early as 1947 with Project Sign, and later with Project Grudge in 1949. When Project Blue Book was formed a few months later, Ruppelt added its data to the reports to be analyzed. It was the Battelle Institute that devised the standard reporting form later used in the gathering of information on UFOs. Later, in March of 1952, the Institute started analyzing existing sighting reports and encoding about 30 report characteristics onto IBM punch cards for computer analysis. As an aside, and to show you how old I am, I was trained while in the Navy to program the sorting and collating machines that used those 30-column punch cards. In fact, I learned how to touch type on a key punch machine. But I digress. Project Blue Book's Special Report No. 14, a very significant document, was released in 1954 after Ruppelt left the project. It was the Battelle Institute's massive statistical analysis of Air Force investigations to date. Some 3,200 by the time the report was completed. Even today, it represents the largest such study ever undertaken. Battelle employed 4 scientific analysts who divided the cases into knowns, unknowns, and a third category called insufficient information. Now, let me go into some detail here because I want you to know just how extensive this study was. They also broke down knowns and unknowns into 4 categories of quality, from porous to excellent. Cases deemed excellent might typically involve experienced witnesses such as airline pilots, trained military personnel, cases with multiple witnesses, or collaborating evidence such as radar contact or photographs. In order for a case to be deemed a known, only 2 of the 4 analysts had to independently agree on a solution. However, for a case to be called an unknown, all 4 analysts had to agree. Thus, the criteria for a unknown, a real UFO, was very stringent. In addition, sightings were broken down into 6 different characteristics. 1, what was the color of the object? 2, how many were there? 3, for how long was the object observed? 4, how bright was it? 5, What shape was it? And finally, 6, at what speed was it going? Okay, now here's what they found. About 69% of the cases were judged known or identified, with most of those being aircraft, balloons, or reports that had astronomical explanations. The known category also included possible hoaxes and, quote, crackpot cases. Another 9% fell into the insufficient information category, and that left about 22% that were deemed to be true unknowns. Let me repeat again. 22% of all reports were found to be real UFOs, unidentified flying objects. Now, here's an interesting point. The higher the quality of the case, the more likely it was to be classified unknown. 35% of excellent cases were deemed unknowns, as opposed to only 18% of the poorest cases. Now, this is the exact opposite predicted by most skeptics, who argue that reports of UFOs are of poor quality and involve unreliable witnesses, or could be explained if only better information were available. In 1966, the Condon Committee, under the direction of Edward U. Condon, who was a physicist and one-time head of the American Association of the Advancement of Science, they reviewed the work of Blue Book and recommended it be shut down. In the final report, Condon said the effort had added nothing to scientific knowledge and further study was probably unnecessary. Condon also said, quote, "It is safe to assume that no intelligent life outside our solar system has any possibility of visiting Earth in the next 10,000 years. Given the lack of information we have about sentient life outside our solar system and any advanced technology they may have, I think it's safe to say Dr. Condon's comments were at the very least unprofessional." I mentioned Dr. J. Allen Hynek earlier. He had originally been hired as a scientific consultant under Project Sign when he was with the Department of Physics and Astronomy at Ohio State, and then later served in the same capacity with Project Blue Book. Hynek had started out as a UFO skeptic. He thought that all reports of UFOs could be explained as either hoaxes, cases of mistaken identity, or misunderstood natural causes. He expected that the fad would soon pass and thought that, quote, "the whole subject seemed utterly ridiculous." Hynek later admitted that in the early years of Project Blue Book, he saw his role as that of a debunker and sometimes stretched natural explanations far beyond what was reasonable. His pronouncement that witnesses of an incident in 1966 had mistaken, quote, "swamp gas for a flying saucer" was met with much ridicule. Hynek left the Air Force in 1973 to form his own UFO research organization called the Center for UFO Studies. He's perhaps best famous for coining the phrase close encounters to describe sightings of UFOs and classified them into 3 groups. Close encounters of the first kind are objects in the sky that seemingly defy the laws of physics. Close encounters of the second kind are cases with physical evidence of a landing, such as broken tree branches or scorch marks on the ground. And close encounters of the third kind involve a sighting of a UFO occupant. Later, the UFO community adopted close encounters of the fourth kind as a way to classify alien abduction. It was not, however, one of Dr. Hynek's original classifications. Dr. Hynek can be seen in the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind in a cameo role as a spectator watching the mothership land at Devil's Tower. He's the guy with the beard and smoking a pipe. Now, how many times have we heard, if flying saucers are real, then why don't they land on the White House lawn? Well, in 1952, they did the next best thing. On the night of July 20th, 1952, a fleet of UFOs buzzed Washington, D.C. and the White House and was tracked on several radar screens. They repeated their aerial display over the nation's capital 6 nights later and easily evaded Air Force fighter jets sent to intercept. The Air Force was forced to respond publicly with a press conference on July 29th, presided over by Air Force Major Generals John Samford, who was the Director of Air Force Intelligence, and Roger Ramey, Director of Operations. Now, if Ramey's name is familiar, It's because he was the guy in charge of the famous weather balloon press conference held in 1947 to explain away the news reports of a UFO crash near Roswell, New Mexico. So Ramey was already experienced in disseminating disinformation about UFOs when he and General Samford held their press conference. As for the display of UFOs over the nation's capital, they offered as an explanation something called a temperature inversion. General Samford suggested that lights on the ground may have looked like they were in the air because an inversion can act like an air lens, he said, and bend light rays. He added that something similar could have tricked radar into thinking that it was tracking aerial targets, which were actually ground targets. The press left confused, but convinced that UFOs were no more than atmospheric phenomena. The Air Force was, however, inclined to believe that UFOs were extraterrestrial in origin. In 1953, a book was published, Flying Saucers from Outer Space by Donald Kehoe. Let me read from the dust jacket of the original hardcover edition. On the back is a photocopy of a letter written on Department of Defense stationery, addressed to the publishers of the book, Henry Holt and Company. It's dated 26 January 1953 and reads as follows. Dear Sirs, this will acknowledge your letter of recent date regarding a proposed book on flying saucers by Major Donald E. Kehoe, U.S. Marine Corps retired. We in the Air Force recognize Major Kehoe as a responsible, accurate reporter. His long association and cooperation with the Air Force in our study of unidentified flying objects qualifies him as a leading civilian authority on this investigation. All the sighting reports and other information he listed have been cleared and made available to Major Kehoe from Air Tactical Intelligence records at his request. The Air Force and its investigating agency, Project Blue Book, are aware of Major Kehoe's conclusion that the flying saucers are from another planet. The Air Force has never denied this possibility exists. Some of the personnel believe that there may be some strange natural phenomena completely unknown to us, but that if the apparent controlled maneuvers reported by many competent observers are correct, then the only remaining explanation is the interplanetary answer. Very truly yours, Albert M. Chopp, Air Force Press Desk. So as of 1953, the Air Force was saying publicly that UFOs were likely to be of extraterrestrial origin. But in 1956, the CIA secretly took control of all things regarding UFOs, including the ongoing investigation of their sightings. The lid slammed shut. The Air Force was placed under a gag order and told not to make any more public pronouncements regarding the subject. Let me say here that I definitely approve of the government continuing its cover-up of UFOs. If they were to end it, I think it would be disastrous for all people caught up in the alien abduction phenomena. I'll have more to say about this, the cover-up and project disclosure, in a future podcast. Right now, let's listen to this nice man and his important information.
Hi, I'm Chuck Weiss. If you're an old baby boomer like me, pain is probably something you've learned to live with by now. Yes, there are drugs on the market that help, but they come with side effects and shouldn't be used for extended periods of time. But fortunately, there is an effective, natural pain reliever available in this state, medical cannabis. Let me tell you about Alta California Botanicals. They're a manufacturer of fine cannabis tinctures. Now you can take your medication in liquid form, much more discreet than pulling out a pipe and lighting up. Alta California Botanicals offers five different formulations, each one addressing a specific medical concern. There are two that are designed for pain, one to be swallowed, of course, and a new one for external use only. I'm going to have to try that one myself on my arthritic fingers. There's a tincture for stress and one for anxiety. They'll certainly keep you mellow. And there's even one for people who suffer from MS. The cannabis tinctures from Alta California Botanicals come in 1/2-ounce bottles. Each batch is laboratory tested and certified free of pesticides and mold. In other words, completely natural and unadulterated. Alta California Botanicals doesn't sell directly to the public, of course, but if you visit their website at Alta, A-L-T-A, CaliforniaBotanicals.com, and enter your zip code, they'll give you a list of dispensaries near you that keep their tinctures in stock. Now, here's a tip for the holiday season. Keep a couple of extra bottles of the stress formula handy. It'll help maintain your cool amongst all that shopping madness. I'm Chuck Weiss for AltaCaliforniaBotanicals.com.
Song is that remembered at random serpenting through fatty coils emerging. Some other thought it's thinking. This light shines above the houses on the ground. This illumination visited upon the whole land. Unmarked helicopters hovering. The Lord is coming soon. Here comes the supercopter, here comes the noise it makes. The demon was an idea, the demon is awake. Well, scratch mark left across the surface of your mind. This hour now upon us, the hour has now arrived. Unmarked helicopters hovering. The Lord is coming soon.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. It was a weather balloon. That's the ticket. A weather balloon.
Unmarked Helicopters by Soul Coughing. Close Encounters is produced at Mutiny Radio, located at 21st Street in Florida in San Francisco. Besides hosting a wide variety of podcasts each week, Mutiny Radio serves the community as a venue for a host of entertainment and educational programs. Here's what's coming up on our social calendar. You should make a note of it on yours. Mutiny Radio maintains an art gallery to display the creative talents of a wide variety of local artists. And since October, we've showcased the letters and artwork of some of the inmates incarcerated at New Folsom Prison. On Saturday, November 29th, from 8 to 10 o'clock in the evening, Mutiny Radio will host a party to commemorate the closing of this exhibit on December 1st. But remember, the party is on the 29th.
Multiple performers will be featured, along with a number of community members speaking out on the mass incarceration that is needlessly filling our prisons. Mutiny Radio also has a 40-seat performance theater available for rent, cheap. If interested, call our station director, Pam Benjamin, at area code 760-716-3865. That's 760-716-3865. We're going to take one more break, and when we come back, I'll tell you how you can download your very own copy of my book, Abducted by Aliens, or How I Learned to Cope with High Strangeness, Government Harassment, and My Mother, A True Story.
Do you have a great idea for a product or service but don't know where to start? Are you looking to expand your current business? Women's Initiative of San Francisco began its business management training program for low-income, high-potential women in 1988. To attend a free orientation on how you can achieve your dream of starting your own business, or for more information, please contact 415-641-3460 or visit womensinitiative.org. This public service announcement is brought to you by your friends at Mutiny Radio.
Save our democracy. We must reverse Citizens United, restore our democracy, and save the Republic. Join the fight for free and fair elections in America. Wolf Pack is the pack to end all packs, and they're working for a constitutional amendment to get money and legalized bribery out of politics, but they need your help. Become a member, volunteer your time, and sign their petition at wolf-pack.com.
The Mosaic Project, based in Oakland, aspires towards a peaceful future by reaching out to children in their formative years. The Principal Program is a unique outdoor school which unites 4th and 5th graders with diverse backgrounds, providing them with the skills required to thrive in an increasingly diverse society, and empowers them to strive for peace. Mosaic creates a microcosm of the diverse, inclusive, just world we want to see, and shows the young students that peace is possible. They are always looking for youth leaders aged 15 to 21 to be mentors for younger students. Please visit mosaicproject.org. This public service announcement is brought to you by your friends at Mutiny Radio in the Bay Area.
Hello, and welcome back to Close Encounters. As promised, that was another selection by the French electronic composer Jean-Michel Jarret, Oxygen Part 13 in his Oxygen series, and that's available on two different CDs if you're interested. Now, as I promised, here is how you can get your free copy of my book, Abducted by Aliens. Go to abductedbyaliens.org and select the free ebook from the menu. Click on the link provided there and then select download. That's simple. And that's from abductedbyaliens.org. So, as we've learned, the modern UFO era started in July of 1947 with Kenneth Arnold's sighting of those nine flying saucers over Mount Rainier. But only a month later, two such flying discs crashed near Roswell, New Mexico. That's right, there were two different crash sites in the area that were sanitized by the military. Next week, we'll investigate the Roswell incident. Until then, look to the skies.
Times man has witnessed and recorded strange manifestations in the sky and speculated on the possibilities of visitors from another world. Today, from the skies of California, the fields of Kansas, the rice paddies of the Orient, the air lanes of the world, come persistent reports of UFOs, unidentified flying objects which we have come to know as flying saucers.
Humanoid, or are they foul, nightmarish apparitions which will come? come from the stars delivering death. More than 50 people saw the UFO. More than 50 people saw the UFO.
Begin to understand ourselves and each other.